I'm thinking I might change gears this morning and go just a little different route. I'd like to pray and ask God's direction on the service this morning. Brother Bud, would you care to ask God to direct us in the message?
Pray, Heavenly Father, you'd help our pastor to direct his thoughts in this direction this morning, Heavenly Father. You bring the words that you'd have this soul to hear this morning. Thank you for mercy and grace. In the name of Jesus, I love to pray. Amen.
Amen. Chad, pray again for us, would you please?
Lord, we thank you, my Father, for the privilege of your house. Lord, I ask that you give my pastor direction. Pray that you give the discernment he needs to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Lord. You lead and guide and direct this service, Lord, and what you have for this hour, Lord. God, I pray that you take the truth of your word, Lord God, and that you touch our hearts, Lord. God, you know the need of the hour, Lord. And God, I ask that you just give my pastor direction, Lord, that your perfect will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. This Father's Day, I like to preach on the home on Mother's Day and Father's Day. I'll probably do that tonight, maybe. I'm gonna look at a rather odd little scripture. I'm gonna go back to Brother Mike's text that he used on Wednesday night, Philippians chapter number 4, when he was bringing his text. Brother Allen, I believe you taught a lesson out of Philippians 4. So this will be our third. Message, lesson, whatever you want to call it, out of Philippians chapter number 4. When Brother Mike was reading and teaching the other night, there was a verse that just jumped out at me, and it just, Terry, it's good to see you, brother. Good to have you with us. I saw you a while ago and meant to say something. I forgot it. But, when Brother Mike was teaching the lesson the other night, there's a verse that God just kind of jumped out, made real to me, or actually a phrase of that verse. And I want to try to give you just a little something. I don't know if I'm really prepared. I've got about a little old half a page or better of notes here, and I don't know, but I feel like it might be the need of the hour. Let me pray quick. Father, help us this day, you know. Lord, I'm just trying to be obedient the best I know how, and you just take the message, do with it what needs doing, and I'll thank you and praise you for it. Father, just take away any hindrances, open hearts, help me to be as obedient as I know how to be, and I'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this particular passage, Brother Mike was looking at Wednesday night, done an excellent job. Brother Allen did as well. Verse number 5, I've read it 100 times, but verse number 5 is what jumped out at me. And I don't know, I may not be up here 15, 20 minutes, but I'm going to try my best to be obedient to the Spirit of God. Here's what verse number 5 says. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. At hand. I think Jesus at the right hand of the Father. That meant He was right there close to His right hand. And when He said here He was at hand, the Lord is at hand. If you go study what many of the commentators say, they'll tell you that means the Lord's imminent return means He could be here anytime, be here soon. And I could take you to scriptures that shows He's going to come quickly, He says in Revelation 22. And He that shall come, will come. We've got that verse. And there's a lot of that. But the Apostle Paul in the present tense, he said this, the Lord is at hand. He's at hand. That means he's close to you. And I don't know. I just couldn't get away from that. It's like I can look over and say, Lord, you're going to have to help me now while I preach. He's right here with me. I mean, I think that's what think that's what the Apostle Paul's saying. Lord, you know, I'm just operating right now, and I've not got a schedule, I've not got a plan, and all that, just these few little notes, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I think Brother Bud, who is that beside you, Brother Bud?
That's the Lord.
That's the Lord sitting right there beside. It looks like ain't nobody sitting there. The Lord's sitting there. I said something to my mom once after my dad died about her being alone. She said, son, I'm not alone. I said, the Lord's with me. Well, you know, I think that's what the Apostle Paul's saying. The Lord is at hand. He's sitting right there. Brother Miller, my natural eye, you're sitting alone, but you ain't. Right there beside you, I see him now. I see him right there. That's the Lord. He's at hand. He's at hand. Well, I say it's all in order. That's just the way I say it. I say it's perfect order. He's at hand. Amen. Yes, amen. Amen. The other Wednesday night, I went up to the Townsend picnic area up there across from the apple barn, and Linda and Missy were sitting there in tears, and Matthew was gone. And little did they know, they was all troubled and tore up, and they was afraid he was lost, and that somebody abducted him or whatever. And little did they know, the Lord was at hand. And they were all tore up, but the Lord was just sitting there in perfect peace. Matthew thought he was running on his own, but the Lord was with him. The Lord is at hand. I'm afraid we lose sight of that. I do. Let me just say that. I lose sight of that. I lose sight the Lord's right here with me. I lose sight that He's sitting there with Brother Bud. I lose sight sometimes, Brother Walter, through the trouble you're going through. Can I say the Lord is at your hand? He's there with you. He really, fact of the matter, He may be a step or two ahead of you. Before you have to go through it, He's went through it for you and checked it out. Made sure it's okay.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The Lord. Why can I say that? Because what the Apostle Paul said, the Lord is at hand. He's near. He's near. And that ought to change us. That concept becomes a reality. I'll never forget what Ed Ballou, might have been somebody else, was preaching. They said one day they were going to be consciously aware of the presence of the Lord. And so they went to the post office, and he went over to the passenger door, opened the door and said, Lord, have a seat. Shut the door, went down to the post office. Maybe if he preached it here, maybe you all remember it. I don't remember. I don't know if I heard it on the tape or what. I believe it's him. Got to the post office. He opened the door. Lord, you want to go in with me? We'll go in and check the mail. Shut the door. And he was consciously aware. And he said he got the strangest looks and the oddest thoughts. And so I started thinking about the Lord is at hand. And why would Paul have to tell us that? Because we forget it sometimes. We forget it. And we take all this on us. When He's right there beside us and He wants to carry it. But we take it on us because we forgot He's there. And I started thinking about this thing of the Lord at hand. And of course in context, if you look in verse number 2, Euodius and Syntyche had a conflict between themselves Paul begs them to be of the same mind. So there's been a little bit of squabbling or something going on there. And he says in verse number 5, let your moderation, and that word means mild or gentle or patient or yieldedness or unwilling to contend. It means to be meek under provocation or be meek when somebody's provoking you. It means readiness to forgive injuries, reasonable in your dealings, forbearance. And most likely in context, he's still talking to Euodias and Syntyche and saying, hey, you need, instead of spouting off or instead of contending or having a little blow up between you, what you need to do is show your moderation because the Lord's there watching you. Now that's most likely the context of what's being said. The Lord's watching you. And so I started thinking about, here's what Paul's saying, there ought to be a difference because the Lord's standing there beside you. There ought to be a difference in the way you're behaving. It ought to make a difference when we know and we realize and we accept the fact that the Lord is standing beside us. He's at hand. Paul said it in the present tense, the Lord is. Not the Lord will be at hand, shortly. Not that. But he said the Lord is at hand. And you ought to let your moderation or your meekness or your self-control or whatever word you want to use for that moderation, you ought to let it be known unto all men. You ought to show that what you really are, because the Lord's there. And I started thinking about that. Knowing the nearness of the Lord should have an effect upon our life. It ought to have an effect on your life, Jason. Right there beside you is the Lord. And when you and Jennifer start home and you start talking about the service and the preacher and the Sunday school that you taught or whatever you're talking about and you're in private, it ought to change you when you know the Lord's there beside you. Now here's what we really are. We're two people. We're one person in private and we're one person in public. As a rule, we're two different people. But really, the Lord is with us in private and in person. We ought to be the same person in private and in person. And what I'm trying to get you to see is the fact that the Lord is at hand ought to make a difference in who we are. It ought to change us. There's some things you ought to do different simply because the Lord's right there beside you. And that's what I want to talk about for just a few minutes. The Lord is near, and this fact ought to make a difference in every believer's life. Every believer's life. You go home tonight, the day's done, you pull the blinds, and you begin your private life, the Lord's right there. That ought to change you. How should it change us? Number one, it ought to make a difference in our actions in temptations. Now, temptation's twofold in the Bible. One means we are enticed by the devil to sin. Abraham was tempted by the Lord, means he was tested. Both of them valid definitions depending on the text, how it's used. But because we know when we're being tried, because when the devil comes our way and starts tempting us, as he did with Euodias and Syntyche, when we know he's saying no use to go on, no use to try, you might as well give up. Can I tell you, the Lord's at hand, and that ought to change how we respond. Some of you are under great testing, great trials. Not just a few, many of you. Many of you are. And many of y'all are in private struggles that no one knows anything about. Been through private struggles the past 2 years nobody knows anything about. And I'm not alone. I know there's many of you go through those things, those battles. But can I tell you the very fact, Brother Allen, of the Lord being at hand ought to help me through those trials. There's things that it wouldn't be right to share it with you about my life, about my problems. It's my personal battles. And you have some and as many of the burdens that we can bear for one another, we ought to. But the fact of the matter is, life is just laid out so. The blueprint of life is that many times those burdens you just can't share, you carry them on your own. But can I tell you, the Lord is at hand. The Lord's at hand. And when we know He's there and the devil's tempting us, and he's telling us this and that, just take a look over to your side and say, Lord, that ain't so, is it? Can I tell you, He'll help you. He'll help you with it. Paul saying this in Timothy, you Otis, the Lord's looking the way you're behaving. And I know she tempted you and you tempted her. And the devil just trying to make us make a mess out of things. But can I tell you, you ought to change your actions. You ought to behave differently because the Lord's at hand. And I want to tell you, I don't know. I know many struggles of our church, but there's some struggles I don't know. There's some struggles only the Lord knows about. You'd be too embarrassed to tell me. You'd be I don't know what the word is to tear you down or to bring you low to share. It would belittle what folks would think about you. Maybe that'd be the right way to say it in your mind. And you just can't share it. But can I say, the Lord's there. Tell Him about it. And so number one, I want to say because the Lord is at hand, it ought to make a difference in our actions when we're tempted. The first thing we ought to realize, the Lord's looking on. And whether it's a private temptation or a public temptation, whether you're where you can make a public display of your failure or you can fail in private, spiritually speaking, just remember this, you're never private from God. The Lord is at hand. Number two, it should make a difference in our anxiety over our troubles. Here's what He said after He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Brother Mike talked about it the other night. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Say, preacher, I'm going through the worst storm of my life. Right there beside you while that old boat's a rocking and that sail is torn, Sister King. Can I tell you, there's a captain on that ship. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a captain on that ship taking you, carrying you through, delivering you through, watching over you, however you want to say it. The old hull may be battered and beat, and maybe you think it's falling apart, and the old sail ripped and torn. But can I tell you, there's a captain that can see you through the storm. And He's at your right hand. He's at your right hand. Well, I'm having children problems. I'm having financial problems. I'm having health issues. I'm having mental issues. I don't know what all else out there we could just fill in the blank, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Fill in your blank. But can I tell you, all them cares we have, all them troubles, all them problems, As we face those, as we have to deal with those things, there's one at your right hand. The Lord is there. Lord, Brother Walter, I can't help but think about you and your situation. Lord, they say I've got a rough road ahead. Lord, you're going to have to help me. Son, I will. Son, I will. That's how it is. Paul said the Lord is at hand. Some of you folks raising children in this church right now, there's going to come a time when you say, I don't know what I did wrong. It may say that. Listen, children don't have to go back. Young folks, I want to tell you, you don't have to sow wild oats. I don't care what they say. I've heard it a hundred times. If they haven't went bad, they will go bad. That's not necessarily so. But surely in this big group of people, this 60, 70 people, whatever we got, 50, 60, whatever we got, most likely there'll be somebody struggle. And some parent will lay awake at night. Can't sleep, wonder what's going on, where they're at, what's happening, and are they safe, are they dead? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you has been there. But can I tell you, just look over at your right hand, and there's one at hand, that's the Lord. You see, here's what he said, give me those cares. Instead of being caring, just prayerfully cast them on me. Because I'm right there. I'm right there. The Lord is, here's my little truth for you. The Lord is at hand. The Holy Spirit just jumped out and gave that to me the other night. The Lord's right there. Right there. He's there in our temptations. He's there in our trials and our struggles and our troubles, if I could say it that way. It ought to make a difference when we realize and we're conscious and we consciously choose to acknowledge the presence of the Lord in our midst. It ought to make a difference in our actions and temptations. It ought to make a difference in our anxiety over trouble. But can I say this? It ought to make a difference in the avenues of our thought life. Here's what he said, finally, brethren. He goes through all these things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. And he goes through all those things. And then he says this, think on these things. Think on these things. From the heart the mouth speaketh, so I can say much. I can say much about what you're thinking inside many times by what you say, by your conversations. And many times we are thinking on politics. We're thinking on the medical. We've got some older folks and they're thinking on the medical areas of life. Some of you are thinking about educating your children. I hear you talking sometimes and you're talking about what works in the homeschool and what don't and how they're struggling and that's what you're thinking on. And some of those things are good. Now, I know we have concerns and they need to be addressed and we have to think on them. We have to evaluate those things. But can I tell you what we ought to do? There ought to be some time that we just think on the good things of the Lord. Because He's right there with us. And I could start being real negative and talk about us thinking about getting even. Think about how somebody's treated us bad. We think about that. We think about doing things we ought not to do and having things and getting and accomplishing things. And we think about all sorts of things we ought not to think about. But knowing the Lord's there and Him knowing what we're thinking about, Brother Allen, it ought to make us go down a different avenue of thought. We'll take a different road in our thought pattern. Right now, He knows what you're thinking. I don't know if you realize it or not, but the Lord knows what you're thinking. He ought to sit down and be quiet. If you're thinking that, the Lord knows it. The Lord knows that. You can be real coy and smooth and on the outside just be everything, but on the inside be rottenness of the devil. With me, and I'll never know it. But the Lord does. If you're two-faced, the Lord knows it. He knows if you're two-faced, if you're a fake. He knows that. Why? He's right there in your private life. He's right in here in your thought life. He's there. Paul said, hey, the Lord's at hand. You all think on these things. I'm going to tell you, we don't think on the right things enough. Let me say it this way. This preacher don't think on the right things enough. I really can't say that about you, but I suspect that about you. I suspect that by our action. If we thought on the right things enough, can I tell you, we'd be different people when we come in the house of God. We'd be different. Here's what I want you to know. When them thoughts are going the wrong way, right here's the Lord. There he is, Brother Allen. You're a good man. But I know you have a battle with your thought life, like everybody else. And when you kick it out of gear and you just let it start coasting down that wrong road, there's the Lord. He knows. Nobody, your wife don't even know. But the Lord does. And He's right there. He's right there. You see, who you really are is what you are when nobody's looking. That's who you really are. That's your character. Paul's saying this to these struggling women and to the churches as a whole, and really to us since the Holy Spirit penned it. He said, let your moderation, let your control, let your discipline, the rightness of your life be known to all men, for the Lord's at hand. And then he starts dealing with these things. Hey, if you go around worrying, what does that say about you, God? We can't help. I know we wrestle with it. I'm not minimizing anybody's problems. I'm a worrier. I'm the guiltiest dog in the bunch. But I'm telling you, what does that say about God? Can He take care of us? Can He help us? The Lord is at hand. It ought to make a difference in how we respond in temptations. It ought to make a difference in our anxiety over troubles. It ought to make a difference in the avenues of our thought life. It ought to make a difference in the acceptance let's look at verse number 11 and 12. It ought to make a difference. And this, I don't know if this is the right word or not, but in our attitude towards our trials. Here's Paul, and he said this, things don't always go good. Things don't always go good. But he said, I've learned to be content in whatsoever state I am. And then he said, I know how to be abased. In other words, I know how when it's real, things ain't going good and I'm just barely scraping by. I can't hardly make it, and it just don't seem right. It just don't seem right. Here I am, man of God, and I don't have what half the other people have, and things are bad for me. He said, I've just learned to be content. Why? Because the Lord's right there beside me. And he said, I've learned how to be abased. And I know how to abound. When things are real good, prosperity's your enemy. You don't know it. But prosperity is a spiritual enemy to the child of God. It makes us, it gives us a sense of self-sufficiency. It makes us independent. It gives us a sense, a false sense of independence of God. The Laodicean, trap. Rich, increase with goods, have need of nothing. Prosperity is really your enemy. If every day you had to have God, and you do have to have Him, you just don't realize it. But if every day it was a conscious reality in your life, if God don't help me, I'll not get through this day. It would change who we are. It would change us. I think that's why a lot of old-timers whose bodies frail and they're living on a fixed income, they just have so very little. Brother Ronnie, you said this one time, you can be happier eating a bowl of beans with the blessings of God on it than you can a T-bone steak without it. And you start talking about your people, some of your folks you've known, I don't know if it's your people or neighbors or what, and my mind went back to my grandmother. And you could open, thinking back on it, I didn't even realize it at the time. I was so small, but young. You could open the refrigerator and there'd be a gallon of milk and a little butter. There wasn't much else in that thing. And I didn't realize it, Brother Allen. That's because she couldn't afford anything else. She'd eat them old neck bones and I guess what nobody else wanted to buy at the market and get for a little bit of nothing. And I mean, she just lived meager. But she was happy as a lark because she had God. She had God. I think that's what the Apostle Paul saying, hey, I can handle it if it's good, I can handle it if it's bad, because right there at my, because, let me just use the phrase, the Lord is at my hand. The Lord's at hand. The Lord's at hand. Can I tell you, it ought to change you. You go, here's what we do. We murmur and complain and gripe and unthankful really for things being as well as they are many times. And really, what we ought to do is just be content. I don't know where contentment's gotten to. I really don't know. And I can't say much without it sounding like I'm throwing off. But my, we live in the land. We've got to have two or three vehicles, a boat, and a camper, and a swimming pool in the backyard, and all these things of life that many old people that's worked all their life don't have. We have to have them at a young age. Discontented, unhappy, dissatisfied, have a good vehicle, want another one. I'm not going to go down that road. Somebody think I'm preaching at them. I'm not. I'm just saying the Christian life, because God's right there at hand, we ought to be contented with life. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. The Lord's at hand. Brother Allen, He's just right there. He's right here. He's right here beside me. Y'all see Him, don't you? You do see the Lord right there. Through your spiritual eyes, can't you see Him here helping me? All I've got is that right there. I've been up here preaching, I guess, 15, 20 minutes. I could have read that in 30 seconds. That's all I've got. Can I tell you, the Lord's right here helping me this morning. Here's what Paul said, the Lord. He said to Syntyche, I believe Syntyche and Euodias. Here's what I think he's saying. You ought to act different in your temptation because the Lord was right there with you. He's watching how you was acting. We tell our kids that. You lie to me, but the Lord knows. Let me tell you adults something. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. It ought to help us in our temptations. It ought to help us in our private life. It ought to help us in our troubles, our anxieties, and our cares. Because He's right there. Marching right through that thing with us. I want to go over to Acts, is it 26, 27, you know, where it's on the storm. All hope was gone, Brother Allen. Paul went down, talked to that, and was beside him there. He said, "Now, boys, everything's going to be all right. We ain't going to lose nobody out of this deal. God's done told me it's going to be okay." I know everything don't work out like Acts 27, 28 did. But if we're on the Lord's side, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It ought to make a difference in our anxiety in times of trouble. It ought to make a difference in the avenues of our thought life. It ought to make a difference in our attitude in our times of trials and of poverty and a want, a desire, or whatever. Whatever it all it is, but it ought to make a difference in our attitude towards spiritual accomplishments. I've got it all literal awareness of our triumphs in Christ, because He's right there. Here's what He said: "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Do all things through Christ. Here's what I hear. I've heard it. I've even said it. I'm as guilty as the ones I've heard it from. I can't do that. I can't do that. We can't do that. Can I say, if the Lord wants us to, we can do all things through Him? Why? Because He's right there. He said, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest." Here's what He said: "Take my yoke upon me." And what that means, was it Brother Blue preached about the way they train a young, was it a mule or an oxen? A young mule or an oxen. They put him in the harness with an older mule or oxen. And they let him pull together, and the older one carries the load, but the young one starts learning a few things. And the point he was making, we're in the yoke with the Lord. Now, if we're in the yoke with the Lord, who's doing the pulling? Fact of the matter is, as far as I'm concerned, we're just about along for the ride, Brother Allen. He just wants some company. I have come to this place, if God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. It's God that gives the increase. Church, if you can't trust your father, "I've got to do better." You can't do better. You can't do better. Your flesh. You can't do better. God has to do better through you. I don't know how to say that any different. Well, I've got to change the way I'm doing. I understand what's being said. I do understand it. And we do have to change through God, through His help, through His power. But can I tell you, you can't do anything on your own. God's got to do it through you. Well, I've got to read more. You ain't going to read more unless God helps you to read more. I've got to pray more. You ain't going to pray more unless God helps you to pray more. My, you're still flesh. And it's still depraved. And in your flesh, I'm going to say it, you're going to get mad. You still hate God. You say, "I don't hate God. It's only the goodness of God in you, that love of God that He put in you, that you love Him." Your flesh hates God. See what your flesh does when you go to pray. You can't trust it. I don't even think, if you can't tame the tongue, hey, if you can't tame the tongue, how in the world are you going to tame the flesh? Can't do it. It has to be God. I need to be, fill in the blank, more faithful. I need to be more prayerful. I need to be more studious. I need to be more consecrated. Fill in the blank. Can I tell you, it's going to take the Lord to do it through you. I used to hear that and think, that ain't right. I've got to do my, you got to present your body. You got to yield. Ain't no doubt about it, but the power to make change in your life is through the power of the Holy Spirit. No other way. But can I tell you, He's right there at your hand. The Lord is at hand. He wants to help you to change. And here's what I think, and I'm, I, I'm through, I guess. The Lord's at hand. Wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, and we're going through some very difficult things. Sister Laverne over there, her and Brother Don, they're in the valley right now. They're in the storm, trying to fight their way out. Brother Junior and I were talking, and he's going through the storm, and I could just go around the room. Brother Arnold, fighting leukemia. Feels like it's in remission, but Brother Arnold, you never know when he's got that load on his shoulders. Brother Walter back there, and my, just around the room, Joe and Janie carrying a burden for a lost son. My, we could just go on, but can I tell you, right there beside you while you're fighting and dealing and trying to struggle, and the Lord is at hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being there for us. That's okay to say something like that, because He's there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping the folks at Ridgeview. He's brought us a long ways, hasn't He? Sister Jessica, I look at you and Brent. I just see the hand of God moving y'all's life. Thank you, Lord, for helping Brent and Jessica. Thank you, Lord. Brother Cheryl, you could have been killed if you'd been over picking that box up when that car hit you and it'd have caught you in the head, you'd be dead today. Thank you, Lord, for helping my brother through his sickness. Now, I thought this when I heard what happened, Brother Cheryl, I thought, that poor fellow never walked again. He'd be in a wheelchair the rest of his life. Here he come last Sunday. He wasn't doing it perfect, but he's walking on that cane. Done throwed that walker aside, walking on the cane. Thank you, Lord, for helping him. Amen. Amen. My, we could just take situation after situation after situation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Here's what I want you to get. I want you to carry it with you. Don't forget this. Just keep this in your mind. The Lord is at hand. The Lord's at hand. That's my little message. I want to give an invitation. Maybe you've been trying to carry the load yourself. Maybe you've been trying to solve all your own problems. Maybe, I don't know how God might have dealt with you in the little fall. I want to ask you this morning, Lord, speak to your heart. Do you need to pray and maybe talk to Him about something? Or maybe, I don't know. Maybe you need to cast your burden on Him today. Maybe you've cast it on Him, took it back, cast it on Him, took it back. Maybe you need to cast it on Him again. I don't know. But He's right there beside you. You can talk to Him if you need to. Brother Allen's going to sing. We're going to have a verse of a song. If you need to respond, do so. If you don't, then we'll go home here in a few minutes. God spoke to your heart. Would you obey this morning? Brother Allen, sing to us.